N Gray Jones Jr., number 11356.
Okay, sir, you're praying for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. To the very far right of the bench is Honorable Michael Johnson, to his left.
He's not here.
I'm sorry, he's not here. He was here earlier. All right, so we only have four board members, and to the far right of him is Honorable Bill Rittenhouse, then the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman, to my left is the Honorable Louis Canovas. My name is David Mill, and I'll be the hearing lead this morning. Also with us today, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, who will also represent the parole office. So prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing, sir. Do you remember that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a license of attorney at your own expense. So you're hiring attorney, sir, or you're representing yourself today?
No, sir, I'm representing myself.
Okay, now we have, do you have a supporter? Is that Amy? Are you, do you wish to speak today?
Yes, I do.
Okay, when you do this one again, I'll swear you in at the same time. All right, so your girlfriend's here, and I'm going to swear the three of you in, you, Mr. Westby, and Amy. So you all solemnly swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or you so affirm. Mr. Jones, do you?
Yes, sir, I do.
Ma'am? Ma'am?
Yes.
I do, and also, it's the parole officer, receiving president, if you have any questions for her.
Say that again, sir.
He's the parole officer, he's on the parole.
Okay. If I decide to give you the third degree, I'll swear again at that time, okay?
My warrant speaks for itself. If you need me, I'll be here.
Okay. All right, so let's continue here. So, sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. Phase one will determine if the current conditions of your community supervision have been violated, and in phase two, will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase... Okay, I didn't hear him.
He wants the camera turned back.
And he's got to speak louder to his receiver.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so, sir, in phase one, what I'm going to do is read the two allegations that are on your warrant, and after each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false. Okay, so allegation number one, violation of Arizona condition of supervision number seven, as demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about July 11, 2018, per task GCMS lab report dated August 13, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
It's true, sir.
All right, allegation number two is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to report on July 21st, 2018, or directed on June 30th, 2018. You were actively avoiding supervision, and thus you were an absconder from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so based on the admissions of Mr. Jones, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as violated terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or about lapsed in the criminal way of the company.
Second.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded by Dr. Wright, moved by Ms. Canovas and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, sir, I was trying to speak, so I don't know what you said.
I wanted to add to the board, and I wanted to know if there's any possibility that...
Okay, that's removing in phase two, and once we get in phase two, you'll have ample time to address the board and tell us what you need to, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. All right, so we're getting ready to move into phase two, but before we do, Mr. Westby's going to give us some background information, so please stay on the phone, and I'll get back to you in a couple of minutes. Mr. Westby?
On August 9th, 2017, Mr. Jones was released from the Department of Corrections. He was arrested on August 20th, 2018 by the Arizona Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit for removing charges. He was back in DOC custody on August 20th, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of April 19th, 2019, which reflects 38 sign days. Current conviction, 2008, armed robbery, 11 years. Prior convictions, 1995, shock incarceration, 3 months, 29 days. 1995, aggravated assault, 2 counts, each for 1 year. 1997, marijuana violation, 1 year. 1998, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year. 1998, theft, 6.5 years. 2006, burglary, 3rd degree, 2.5 years. 2006, theft, 2.5 years. 2006, criminal damage, 1.5 years. This is his 6th term in DOC. CUIR score is 2-3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 1. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1996, temporary release completion, 2 months. 1998, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, read CCD prior to seeing the BOEC. 2004, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. 2007, TIS release completion, 7 months. His disciplinary is significant, with threats, violence, weapons, and rioting noted. After his return to DOC on September 18, 2018, he received disciplinary for threatening and intimidating when he informed the officer during formal count, quote, I will tell you how things are going to go, and we'll get you moved to a room so I can have a little bunk where I can smash my cellmate, end quote. And he was found guilty of in violation. There's no other arrest on record. His community risk score is a G5B6.
Thank you, sir. All right, so we're going to have to raise some of your case supervision. Looks like when you were released, your approved residence was the Phoenix Oasis at 2218 East Polk Street in Phoenix, Arizona. And you lived there until December 11th of 2017. When you were discharged for failure to pay rent, and then on December 11, 2017, you referred to V-Gray self-pay program at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix. You advised you had moved in with your brother Scott Jones at 9515 North 2nd Street in Phoenix. Then on August 14th, the violation letter was delivered to the residents at 9515 North 2nd Street in Phoenix. And on August 14, 2018, Randall Jones called. He states that he is the man who owns and resides in the home. You were his brother, but he said he never lived in his home. And he advised that he didn't know where you were at or how to contact you. So if you told your PO you moved in with your brother, but he says you didn't move in there. Where are we at, sir?
I was at my brother's house. She met me at my brother's house. She saw me at my brother's house. She came to meet me there at my brother's house. He didn't know what was going on or anything like that. I came there from the time that I first met her there. I only met with her when there was time, and that was on a way on the far west side of town.
Okay, well, why didn't you stay at V-Bray like you were told to?
I didn't. When I left V-Bray, I left V-Bray on a positive rent. I successfully completed a 90-day RCP program. I was attending their alumni group every Tuesday, every second and third Tuesday of the month, and I went on therapist with Allison there. She didn't know about that. I was going to their groups over there. But I'm not going to sit here and try to make excuses with you, Your Honor. I'm not. I was totally wrong for everything. Ms. Williams Hancock isn't wrong. I was totally disrespectful towards her. And I know that she's there, and I want to apologize to her personally. I know Ms. Hancock from Unit 9. written mediation from the other where I was, and she's just not wrong. She's totally not wrong. The big part about it is that, you know, I want to ask for help, you know, and I'm not sitting here trying to make excuses for when the bad decisions and choices that I made while I was out there, right? I want you guys to see the positive changes that I made.
Okay.
You know, I have somebody that's there and people that order me out, and you know, that I did all the good things out there. I wasn't out there creating havoc and breaking the law, working every day.
Okay, so let's move on to...
I graduated there one day.
Okay, sir?
Sir? I'm not with the tech job. We would have to be great.
Excuse me, Mr. Jones?
Okay.
Okay, so according to this, you worked various jobs while you were out. So we moved on to your programming. So you were assigned a task.
Yes.
You had three or four negatives. And then on December 11th, you tested positive for meth. And then you went on to having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 negative UAs. Then in June, on the 28th, you failed to drop, and you were directed to do a UA on July 10th. And on the 11th, you tested positive for methamphetamine again. Then on the 25th, you failed to drop. So according to this, when you were confirmed with a positive UA, you argued that you didn't use drugs and that it was the personnel at task that were to blame for it. You still feel that way, or did you use drugs then?
I did. I absolutely did, yes.
Okay. So when was the last time you used any meth or any illegal drugs?
Probably about 2 or 3 weeks or so before I was hit back up.
Okay. Now it says here that it says here that you were referred to CHC for programming. And on October 27, 2017, you were discharged for failure to attend. Then you were reinstated and continued in the programming, but on December 11, you were discharged from CHC the second time for failing to attend programming. You had 4 absences, and I believe 3 is the max you're allowed. So you had a staffing and... about your discharge from Phoenix Oasis for failure to pay rent, and your second discharge from CHC. So you were bad. It says here that you were reinstated back to CHC and referred to VBRA for housing, and were directed to submit a UA on 12/18/17. And I knew your staff at that time for your positive meth results.
The issue with Phoenix Oasis was I was working while I was working there, so I couldn't pay rent, and that's why I was kicked out. I broke my left foot and I got in this document with the Maricopa County Medical Center, which is the Maricopa County Hospital. I broke my left foot as I fell downstairs at the half the hospital. There was no way for me to pay rent there. So I was discharged from there because I couldn't pay rent. And their medical files at Maricopa County Medical Center. I was transported to the hospital twice on Southwest Ambulance. So there's documentation there at the hospital for that.
Okay.
And
well,
this is working for that whole trip.
It looks like really through the programming and sanctions that you were having a lot of trouble following the rules and the directives of your PO. And so when you didn't show up for the face-to-face, that's when the warrant was issued, clearly, it was August 13th is when the warrant was issued. So why do you have so much trouble following your appeals directives?
I don't, Your Honor. I just... Steve Turner was my PO in the beginning when I first got released on August 9th, 2017. I never missed my court date in his office when I saw him. Never once missed my court date there. My screw-ups started happening when I became part of her caseload. I started using drugs and I started messing up. I didn't want to see her in the end. I didn't want to see her in the end.
Okay.
I didn't want to see her in the end, you know.
All right, I'm going to see if... Okay, so I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Any questions?
No. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask if your girlfriend would like to come up and speak on your behalf.
I'm sorry.
Well, state your name and tell us what you'd like us to know.
My name's Amy, and I'm letting him know that he works, he gives me drive, he gives me reason to get out there and live life anymore. He's a good person. He's always on his family's, his brother's butt, you know, to do right. And he just had a slip up. He had a slip up. He's a good person and a good hard worker, and I promise I will kick him in the butt. You know, for real, he can't keep living life like this. He can't keep living life like this. It's more important to me. Life is too short. And I want to be happy. And that's where it's going to have to stand.
Okay. Any questions for my fellow board members? No questions. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Now I guess I'm going to call you up and...
So whatever you ask for.
Okay. I swear to you on the first week. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so firm?
I do.
Can you state your name and tell us what
I'm Sue Williams Hancock, and I'm a parole officer, and I was this gentleman signed on my case up. I picked him up after Steve Turner, I believe, came. Steve Turner, no, he came here. He went to the hearings. Yeah. And so when that happened, then he was transferred to my case.
And would you like to give us kind of like a brief rundown of how he was doing on supervision?
Danny, excuse me, Federer Jones is stuck in his teen years and he plays games. And so I'm used to that. I can deal with that to an extent. But we had some issues in that when he moved out of V-Ray, he told me he was moving out. I told him, okay. So I told him that day that I had to see him. I have to see you. This was a repeat thing every month. I have got to see you. And so, you know, he's working, he has an excuse. He can't. I work one weekend day a month. And so I would try to facilitate meeting with him somewhere on Saturday or Sunday. Oh, he can't do that because it's his family time. So he wouldn't avail himself. And so at the point that he moved to his brother's house at 9:15, whatever it was. Anyway, I said, I've got to meet you. I've got to visit the residents. And there were all these excuses why that couldn't happen. That could not happen. He was busy, he was working, he was somewhere else, and I kept reiterating, and I brought my phone so y'all would see countless texts. And he says, well, there's a park near the house, I can meet you there. And I said, no, I'm going to meet you at the house. You will meet me at that house. And so by the time I actually met him at the house, he was angry. And this gentleman has a long history of violence, and I haven't lived this long by going into residence with men by myself that are angry. And so he met me in the front yard. He was standing on the lawn when I pulled up. And so I stopped and I got out and I rode on the trunk of the car and we discussed numerous things. There was a gentleman who came home and while we were there, pulled into the driveway and he said, "That's my brother." I waved to him, he acknowledged I was there and he waved back. But I didn't ever have a conversation with that man. I understood that man's name was Scott. That was when I had my records. And then when I finally dropped off a violation letter, at the end of this whole thing, a brother Randall brought me back. And Randall said, "No, he's never lived here." And so I don't have an issue with him living with a girlfriend. I need to know about the girlfriend. I need to know that address. Game playing can't go on. And so I had offered, before I wrote the warrant, I had an emergency family sick leave to go on. And he needed to be seen. It had been 6 weeks since he had been seen. He was testing positive. I told him I have to see him. And of course, it's the weekend. He can't possibly make it. On weekdays, he can't make it. And so I said, "Hey, I'll meet you at Arrowhead Mall, public place, and I will see you before I leave town." He couldn't come that far. Gas costs too much. So I did the warrant.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for me with my fellow board members?
No, sir.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Jones, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will have a discussion in a couple of minutes to make a determination about this case. Before we do, I'd like to give you an opportunity to give us a final statement. Anything else you think we need to know that would be pertinent to our end for our decision? However, we ask that you don't repeat all the information we've already covered.
Okay. First, I want to say thank you all for allowing me to come. I appreciate you guys' time. I want to ask for help. I'm not going to get that help behind prison, behind prison walls. I'm not going to get the help that I need. I hope that I need help. I want to help. Okay? I have, and I'd like to get back on the surgery and stop getting prosecution. If you guys should agree to reinstate my supervision, I'm going to go back from the 98 program to be verified to get 25 on the street. I'm going to go back to the CAC program to operate. I'm just basically asking for help, and that's what I want to do. I can't get that help here. I've got all the 7 months since he changed that on my supervision. You can see that I've been out there for a year. I won't say 9 days, but I don't know if I'm going to crash the numbers. I believe that I can do this. I don't want to be a statistic anymore. I come 44 next month. I'm tired of being a statistic. I want to help a lot. I want to be somebody out there for buckets. My understanding from letters from my family is that I still have a job when I get up. They're encouraging me to get the help that I need or understanding. I'm seeking help for my problems that I have. I'm not going to say to make excuses to say that I didn't do anything. I can't touch my mom. And I apologize for the people that I do that. And Bill, if you get to turn the bomb and speak to each other, basically, there's nothing that's wrong with me and say that. I have a problem. I want to ask for help. I'm killing my mother in April 19th, and she is not helping. There is no blood counseling here in prison. There is none. They don't have those kind of classes here. And after I get back from them, I'm going to get program based RCBN. I want to go to the clinic and go to the clinic and ask them if they're serious. I'm giving them all the information that I need. next 7 months, I'm going to be involved in helping the folks and myself and my family. I'm not trying to go out there and find a way to help the county, helping me strike, get myself there. I hope you guys are for it. You guys are can't help me. Getting me here. I promise to do the right thing. I promise to make all these obligations now that I'm performing to you to tell me about.
All right, thank you, sir. The board is going to go into discussion and make a determination. Yes, ma'am.
Can I mess with your sequence, your schedule? Just a minute. I thought of something.
State your name, please.
Okay. My name is Sue Williams Hancock, and I would like to ask him a question. When he went back to prison, he went back on the 20th, I believe, and on the 29th, he was placed on a mental health watch because he was homicidal. It would be nice to know, you know, for my safety and others, who he was fantasizing killing. And he remains on that watch, or has up to, I think he's still on a mental health yard. But it might be nice to know when that ended and if he's still having those issues. I'm not sure if my writing the warrant and saying his brother said he didn't live there, if his brother's a target of that owner, I don't know.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Jones, did you hear that?
Yes.
Are you still on mental health watch?
No, I did not. It was not homicide. I was staying with someone who's saying I wasn't doing homicide, but I was doing suicide.
Okay, so you got that under control now?
Yes, I'm over there.
Okay.
They can deal with the problems and
stuff. Okay.
They can deal with the problems.
All right.
They have to confirm me because I don't know where they're in.
Okay. All right, well, the board's going to go into discussion to make a determination. Sir, are you listening? Okay, the board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. We may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. So we ask you to remain silent, but stay on the phone. You can hear the entire conversation, and once we're done, I'll get back with you. Okay, sir? The board is now in discussion. Well, this is definitely an unfortunate situation, but it with everything that we have, it seems that Mr. Jones has had difficulty complying with the directives of his PO, and he is asking for us to put him back out so we can get some help, but when he was out for roughly a year, he didn't do really well with the help that he was given, or the help they tried to give him when he wouldn't come in because he had all the excuses for not going in. That, coupled with his history and the fact that he had not very many days ago, he was found guilty of threatening, well, since he's been reincarcerated, and so he's definitely an anger management problem that he hasn't dealt with. So at this time, I don't seem as a good candidate for current community supervision, but I'm willing to listen to any discussions from my fellow board members.
I agree. I just wanted to briefly that it's been my experience when a parole officer makes such detailed programming and sanctions notes that the inmate's behavior has been unacceptable, and I think Mr. Jones would be best served completing his prison sentence inside the Department of Corrections. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Okay, so based on all the information in 2018W2332, Mr. Jones' testimony, that's been triggered with parole officer Williams Hancock. I was on the reverse names.
Yeah. and all the information from department collection, I'm going to move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Jones as he's delinquent, violating current conditional supervision, and have lapse or about to lapse in criminal ways for company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Jones, agreed by Dr. Wright and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Jones, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. You're scheduled to be released on or about April 19, 2019. In the meantime, you should be able to get some NA 12-step classes in and help you get yourself set and make yourself a good... Sir? Okay, sir, I'm trying to speak. Okay, just... All right, sir, since you're going to insist on interrupting this when you're hearing, please put the CL3 back on the phone. Thank you for appearing. Please put the CL3 back on the phone. Thank you.